The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good, Patrick. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. I know your mama is beaming out of her skull. And just thrilled. Wasn't that good to hear your son sing like that? That's just so good. Amen. And that is fantastic. We love you and thank you so much. Doing a good job. Over in Psalm 37, verse 4, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. D.L. Moody said this. He said, a holy life will make a deeper impression. Lighthouses blow no horns. They just shine. A holy life will make deeper impressions. Lighthouses blow no horns. They just shine. One lady said this. She said, I went down to the silversmith. I wanted to see how he made silver. Every time I saw it in the shops where I did shop, it was beautiful. So I went down to see how it was made. The silversmith said, well, if you'll watch, I'll show you how it's made. He took some silver and he put it in the container whereby he was able to put it into the fire. He put it into the fire and it was the hottest fire. He said the hottest fire oftentimes will burn off the impurities. And by keeping it in there for a long time, no longer than necessary, but a long time, it burns off all of the impurities. The lady inquired then. She said, well, how long do you know is long enough? He said, well, you don't want to keep it in too long, because if you keep it in too long, he said, it'll ruin it and burn it. He said, so you got to take it out right at the right moment. Well, that inquired her to be even more inquisitive. And she said, well, how do you know what the right moment is? Oh, he said, that's easy. When you look into the silver and you're able to see your reflection, you know it's the right time. Now, can I tell you, that's what the Son of God does for us. How is it that you know that you're right with God? How is it that you know that you're on the right page? How is it that you know that you're heading the right direction? When you can look inside of the Word of God and see your reflection, you're able to know, okay, I'm right where I should be. Now let's talk about desires. When I was a young boy, you've heard me say this, oh, probably a couple of times at least. My daddy worked at Maryland National Bank in Baltimore City. And one time he went out into the courtyard where he would buy stuff. And one night as he was coming home, he decided to purchase some Italian pizza. Now, I don't know why they called it Italian. I don't know if they had a short little fella or a broad fella that cooked it. I'm not really sure, but it was called Italian pizza. And he brought it all the way up from Baltimore City. We live 45 minutes out into the country. And so he brought it all the way up from Baltimore City, and he brought it there, was going to get Mama to warm it up in the oven that night, and we were going to have pizza. I looked at it, and I thought it was absolutely grotesque. I mean, it looked like that somebody, not trying to be sickening in my description, but it did look like somebody did become sick. It really did. And it looked like that they tossed their cookies on a piece of bread, regurgitated, threw up on a piece of bread. I said, Daddy, oh, Daddy, you don't want me to eat that, do you? Oh, he said, Mike, and he did that to Andy Griffith. He said, it's going to be so good. He said, you need to try it. And I said, Daddy, I'll be glad to try it. Can you show me first how you're supposed to do it? And he said, okay. And so he took and he did that, good. And he said, you need to try it. I said, okay. So I tried it that night. And can I tell you, I'm just being very honest. My wife could tell you, my children could tell you, my favorite food is pizza. Oh, now it's got to be good pizza. Don't give me that stuff that the crust is so hard that you have to go get dentures after you eat it. Don't give me that, okay? But I like good pizza. I'm talking about good stuff, all right? Now, did you know the reason that I became so well acquainted and it has become my favorite food all these many years now is not because in memory of my daddy. It's simply because I like the pizza. Now, don't give me a skimpy pizza. If you're going to take me out one day and you're going to take me to a pizza house and treat me to pizza, treat me right. Treat me right. Whatever they have goes on it. whatever they have. Oh, man, especially pineapples. Oh, especially onions. Woo! Especially every type of meat that you can find, even if it's freshly killed, put it on there. And I just like it. I mean, the higher you can pile it, the more I like it. And so, but wait a minute. It started years ago with a taste. That's where it started. And because I tasted, it changed my desires. Doesn't the Bible say, taste of the Lord and see that He is good? The more you come to church, the more you get the taste of the Lord. The more you get the taste of the Lord, watch this, the happier you'll be. Why? Because you get the taste of Him and He is always good. All right? And so how is it that we can change our desires? What is it that we can do to be able to change ourselves? I submit to you tonight, you change yourself by putting the right desires in front of you. And by the way, it might take time. You know, first time I ever went into an independent Baptist church, I've told you before, I'll tell you again, it scared me. I mean, there was no statues, there was no holy water, there was no kneeling benches. I was used to going to the Catholic church. I was not used to coming to a church where the man of God would get up and expressly say anything. Everything that was done by my priest in the Catholic church was very unexpressive. But when I went to church in a Baptist church, he became very expressive. And he pointed his finger, and I felt like, ooh, wow, boy, he's getting at that person. But before I could get it all out, he's pointing at me. And so it was very, very expressive. So how is it that we can change? I submit to you, you change by changing your desire. You change your desire by being in certain places whereby God can use them to change your desire. Let me give you some things, okay? Some things we should desire. We should desire to be faithful to church. We should desire to be faithful to church. Psalm 27 in verse 4, the Bible says, one thing have a desire. This is David speaking. One thing have a desire of the Lord that I will seek after. He says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It says to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. So he said, here's one thing that I desire. I desire to be in the house of the Lord. Now, stay with me now. If you desire to be in the house of the Lord and you stay in the house of Lord long enough, it will change you. It will change you. When I first started going to that Baptist church and I heard preaching, you know what God did? God did not change me because of the personality of the deliverer, that's the preacher. God did not change me because of the stories of the preacher. God did not change me because of the tear-jerking illustrations of the preacher. God changed me because of the Word of God. I hope that our church is built in such a way that you and I, if the preacher died, if the preacher had a heart attack, stroke, or something of that nature, and wasn't able to preach anymore, I hope by the good grace of God, you'd always be faithful to the house of God. Why? Because the house of God is not built on a man. It's not a man building a kingdom. Oh, no. It is built upon that which is the principles and the preaching of the Word of God. So here's what we understand, that we should desire to be faithful to church. That will help you to change. Statement number two, desire to have God's mercy. Desire to have God's mercy. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, I desired mercy and not sacrifice and knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And so here you see the Hosea, a perfect illustration of one that desires to have the very mercy of God. What is the mercy of God? The mercy of God is withholding God's judgment. And so as we come to the house of God and we hear the preaching of the Word of God, here's what we do. We don't want God's judgment on her life. Oh, these people that, I'm going to hit something tonight, but I want you to see it. You know why so much sin is revealed in independent Baptist church, but not so much sin is revealed in liberal churches? Can I tell you why tonight? Help you out a little bit? Because in independent Baptist churches, you hear the whole preaching of the counsel of the Word of God. You hear preaching about sin. You don't hear that in liberal churches, but you hear that in churches that preach the Bible. So in liberal churches, because there's not preaching on that, there's not much conviction. Because as the man of God preaches the Word of God, which is the tool of God, now you have a tool whereby brings conviction. When conviction is brought, a person, when they're under conviction about something, oh, they'll confess something, or they'll want to get right with God about something. Oh, I submit to you. And and many liberal churches across the Dallas metro area, there's much more sin that does abound. Why? Because there's not pointed preaching. There's not that which is the preaching of the Bible. But where there's the preaching of the Bible, there is great conviction. That's how come you see families getting right with each other. That's how come you see families getting right with God. That's how come you see families having a desire to step up and to do what is right. Why? Because they heard the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, I'd rather go to a church that has pointed preaching than a church that doesn't have anything pointed to preach about. I'd rather my young person be raised in a church where the man of God gets up and says, no, that is wrong, and no, that is not the right way to go, than to have a passive preacher that's afraid to get up and to preach about certain sin. Can I tell you tonight that sin is still sin? And our nation was having great revival when preachers would get up and they would preach the Bible rather than getting up and apologizing for that which is society's ways. Listen, society's ways, if it doesn't match up with God, is the wrong way. I'm saying tonight that we understand this. If we want to change, we have to work with our desires. Develop a desire by being in the house of God. Develop a desire for the mercy of God. Develop a desire to hear the Word of God. Acts chapter 13 and verse 7, the Bible says, which was with, it says, the deputy of the country. And the Bible talks about Sergius here, Paulus. He was a prudent man, and he called for Barnabas, and he called for Saul. Why? Because the Bible says in Acts 13 and verse 7, he desired to hear the Word of God. So here's what we see. The Word of God changes people. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. And so what takes place when you hear the Word of God, it causes a growth. Now, here's the problem. When you have preaching about righteousness, here's the problem. Everybody that hears preaching about righteousness, the Holy Spirit takes that, the Holy Spirit personally applies that, and as the Holy Spirit personally applies that, people get under conviction. Why? Because they want to have right living. And once they start having right living, can I tell you, that never subsides. You always want to do right more. Now, the problem is you only have so many hours in a day. I think you only have 168 minutes, if you will, please, in a week. And so you've only got so many hours in a day. Now, can I tell you this? Or in a day, you've got the 168 minutes. Now, you understand that you can only do so much. You can only do so much. Now, here's a problem. You want to do more, but you've only got one life. There has to come a time in your life when you realize that you're doing your very best with where you are right now. I think that sometimes we frustrate the grace of God because we say, and we hear preaching about soul winning, and we say, I want to go more, but I can't. We hear preaching about holy living, and I want to live more holy, but I don't have any more holiness left. We hear preaching about, I want to go to church, but there's no more church services for the week. We hear preaching about reading the Bible, but there's not the appropriate amount of time because of your life schedule to be able to read that much Bible. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Realize this. Realize that you do the very best that you can. And you live for God, but don't put yourself on a guilt trip. The preacher always needs to get up and preach about soul winning. The preacher always needs to get up and preach about raising a godly family. The preacher always needs to get, why? Because there's always going to be people that needs to hear it. But you cannot do everything. I'll say it again. You cannot do everything. If you spent 9 hours a day reading your Bible, who's going to cook? Worse than that, who's going to eat? If you spend all that time reading your Bible, who in the world is going to work and bring home the income? If you spend all your time going soul winning, who's going to pay the house bill? Now, you've got to have a balance. That's why the Bible says that a just weight is his delight. So here's what you do. Oh, yes, don't use that excuse to never go soul winning. Don't forget we're talking about a just weight. We're talking about having a just balance, if you will. All right? And so you need to balance it. Yes, you should go to church. Yes, you should depend on God's mercy. Yes, you should read your Bible. Find a place to read God's Word. Find a time to read God's Word. Put it in your schedule. Make it something that you do. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Here's something. Desire to know the truth. not just hear the truth, but know it for yourself. Psalm 51 and verse 6, the Bible says, behold, it says, thou desirest the truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part. The Bible says, thou make me to know wisdom. So desire to know the truth. Let the truth, if you would please, resonate deep down inside. Let it get a hold of you. By the way, have you ever had this? Have you ever had a message that got a hold of you? Can you think back? Can you think back maybe to the time when somebody preached a message and it got a hold of you? By the way, that's how come we have different preachers in. Different preachers come in and preach. They may say the same thing as the pastor, but it's a different catalyst. It's a different voice. It's a different microphone whereby they're giving a different illustration or preaching it in a different fashion that all of a sudden now the light comes on. Here's what we see. Desire to know truth. Statement number next. Desire to serve God full time. I think every believer, and I believe this with all my heart, just because I have nothing to compare it to except me. When I was being trained to take a business in Baltimore City, it was a heating and air conditioning company, and I was working in there. I was the guy that drew up the blueprints and stuff like that, and he was training me that one day, if I wasn't going to pursue being a police officer, that company would be able to be a company that I would run, and I would have the men, and we were good friends, and he was tutoring me and mentoring me to be able to take that and to run that particular company. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you would, please. But inside of me, there was a desire to do more for God. Every time my pastor got up to preach, there was a yearning. I want to do more. Now, I couldn't do more, but it's healthy. The Bible says that we hunger as God's children. We hunger and we thirst after righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is right doing. The day that you stop hungering and thirsting is the day you die physically. The day that you stop hungering and thirsting after righteousness is the day that you begin to die spiritually. Are you hungering and thirsting to do something for God? If you're not hungering and thirsting to do something for God, can I tell you, you're probably a sick believer. You're probably a sick Christian. There should always be the continual hungering and thirsting to be able to have truth and to be able to serve God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Bible says this is a true saying, that a man desire the office of a bishop, desireth a good work. So he's saying this. He's saying when a man desires the office of course, that's a pastor. He said that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. So I submit to you tonight, when a person desires to do more for God, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. I would worry about the teenager tonight that had no desire to please Jesus Christ. I'd worry about the teenager tonight that had no desire to go to the altar doing an altar call. I'd worry about the young person tonight that has no desire to listen to godly music. I'd worry about the young person tonight that has no desire to live for God. I'd worry about the young person tonight that has no desire to put God first. I worry about the young person tonight that has no desire to live a holy, separated life unto God and separated from a wicked, cruel world. There should be a desire to go to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 2. I'm saying change the desires, if you will, and it will change you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 2. The Bible says, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed, it says, upon with our house, which is the form heaven. All right, now wait a minute. So he says now that there's a desire. Now notice this. We ought to have a desire to have our prayers answered. Job chapter 13 in verse 3, the Bible says, surely, he says, I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to, it says, reason with God. Job 31, verse 35, the Bible says, oh, the one that would hear me, behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, that's answer to prayer, and that my adversary had written a book. Now, wait a minute, so here's what he says. Job said, I just desire to have an answer to prayer. By the way, can you tell if you have somebody that has a desire to have an answer to prayer? How do you know if somebody has a desire to have an answer to prayer? I'll tell you how you know, because they're praying. People that do not have a desire for God to answer prayer, Just don't pray. All right, here's the question, church family. How often do you pray? See, watch this. Here's what happens. Here's what happens. Stand up, if you will. And put your Bible away. You don't need it. And so all of a sudden, he gets a burden. And the burden takes him down. And it takes him all the way down. Knocks him down. Puts him on the ground flat. And the burden becomes so heavy. Now watch this. Here, I'm telling you the truth. Here's what happens. So he lays down carrying his burden. And he gets comfortable. So he never prays. He never reads his Bible. He doesn't enjoy good fellowship. He just lays, look miserable. Can you look miserable? Can you look miserable? Is that miserable? Okay. So he has this miserable look on his face. You know why? Because that's the way it's normal. It's just normal. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. And so he has this sad... You okay?
It's comfortable.
Yeah, it's comfortable. Yeah. He's used to laying down when preaching. Not physically, but here. And so here's what we understand. We understand this. We understand when we change our desires, it changes us. We understand, how do we change your desires? You be faithful to church. How do you change your desires? And be a part, be a partaker of the mercy of God. Realize how good it is. How do you change your desires? You come and you hear the word of God. Let God speak to you. How is it that you change yourself, if you will, please? You know the truth. How is it that you change yourself? Watch this. You serve God. Have a desire to serve God full time. I have a desire to go to heaven. I can't wait to see my mom and daddy. I can't wait to see my older brother. I can't wait to see my grandpa and my grandma that went to heaven. I can't wait to see them. I can't wait to see those that have gone before me. Okay, have a desire to go to heaven. Now, because you have a desire to go to heaven, you have a desire to show other people their need of receiving Christ. All right? Have a desire to have God answer prayer. Have a desire to live a separated life. By the way, if it's questionable, don't do it. If it's questionable, don't do it. If it looks like a girl should wear it, then let the girl wear it. If it looks like a boy should wear it, let the boy wear it. But if it's questionable, don't do it. Why put yourself in such a predicament whereby you hurt yourself and hurt others? Live a separated life. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, through desire, it says, a man having separated himself. He separated himself. This was something he did. Having separated himself, seeketh, and it says, and intermingle, it says, with that which is wisdom. All right, so what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to separate myself. I am not going to smoke. I'm not going to drink alcohol. I'm not going to do drugs. They got this new drug coming out now, and it's already being accepted in some states. It's a form of marijuana that you put in your coffee that's supposed to give you a buzz, and they're saying it's become accepted. It's already been accepted. It's going to hit the market. It's already been accepted by 47 different states. Now, can I tell you, it would be better to drink community coffee than Maxwell House that's going to put that stuff in it. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying live a separated life. Okay, desire to see people come to know Christ as Savior. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, brother, it says, my heart's desire. By the way, if you're a Maxwell House drinker, I'm not trying to slam you. That was that was meant for Weslowski only. Yeah. That wasn't of God that I said that, but it sure felt good coming from Wells. Yeah. Win people to Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So have a heart's desire to see people come to know Christ as Savior. Use your talents for God. I'm talking about how to change. Develop a desire to change. How do you develop a desire? You have to taste it. You have to keep tasting it. You have to keep tasting it. A person comes to church, and man, they come to church, and you know, come on now. You come to church, and the preacher's preaching, and you sit there, it's like. By the way, if you're doing that, If you're doing that, that doesn't give me the impression that you're enjoying the preaching. Oh, come on now. You know, you come to church and it's like you need to have your phone out and you're texting that girl hoping that she receives this 900th text that you sent her, and she's ignoring you like you're a sick cow on the backside of the farm. You know, wake up. Wake up. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, when you come to church, enjoy church. By the way, if you come to church more, you'll enjoy it more. If you come to church more, you might like the preaching more. You say, I don't like pointed preaching. I realize that, but that's probably a heart problem. You should like preaching that's pointed at you. Why? It's going to help you. Somebody needs to say, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not right with God. Somebody needs to get up and cry aloud. And you say, well, I don't like that because after all, it just bothers me. It bothers me that you're acting that way. Don't be that way. Oh, come on. You need to be excited about the things of God. You need to be excited about coming to church. You need to be excited about what goes on in the house of God. And you let God be the one that works in your life and that helps you and that straightens your lousy life out. And God has the power to do that. God can help every marriage. God can help every distorted child. But it has to be somebody that decides you're going to stay right with God. You've got to change yourself. And in order to change yourself, you've got to change your desires. I'm saying tonight that you give your talents to the Lord. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. It says, but rather that you may prophesy. Have a desire to be a blessing to others. By the way, when you compromise, you're not a blessing to someone. Listen to it, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, not because I desire a gift. It says, but desire fruit that it may abound to your account. What do? You desire to know God's will. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, for this cause, it says, we also, it says, since the day we heard it, do not cease from prayer, but desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and in his all, it says, in all his wisdom and spiritual understanding. So there's some things I should desire. In other words, if I want to be changed, I've got to change my appetite. I've got to change the way that I put things in and chew them up. If you're not desirous of these things, probably you're not moving in a direction to be changed the way God says he wants to change you. But may I say this, and I'll close tonight, but I got several statements tonight under this, and that is this, what we should not desire. There are some things in the Bible that God says you're not supposed to desire. Statement number one, do not desire to have the belongings that someone else has. Stop being somebody that says, well, I tell you what, I don't understand why God blessed them. They don't deserve that. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights. You let God decide who he's going to bless. You let God, don't be somebody, if you would please, that covets after your neighbor's house, your neighbor's field, your neighbor's possessions. Don't do that. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 21. Don't desire to have riches for yourself. You know, it seemed like the Israelites got in more problems when they held on to prosperity than when they gave their prosperity to God. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 25, it talks about the graven images of their gods shall be burned with fire. It talks about the silver and it talks about the gold and how that became a snare to them whereby they became an abomination to the Lord God. Don't let things possess you. Stay with me now. You learn to possess things. If you have something that you're holding so tight to that you cannot give to the Lord, there's a problem. There's a problem. May I say this? Do not desire the belongings of another. Do not desire to be rich with yourself and only holding on to that. Statement number next. Do not desire to have evil happen to someone else. Well, they wronged me. And I'm just praying that God will get them back. Well, you let God take care of that. You just be as kind and forgiving and loving. You shake their hand. You give them water when they're thirsty. Give them a blanket when they're cold. Job chapter 36 and verse 20, the Bible says, desire not, it says, the night when people are cut off in their place. Don't desire them to hurt. Statement number next, do not desire to have a life of fame and fortune. Amen. Fame and fortune. Don't desire to be somebody that has the fame and the fortune. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 6, the Bible says, eat thou, it says, not the bread of him that have an evil eye. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. So don't desire. Well, I tell you what, I just wish that I was like one of these rock and roll guys. I just wish that I was like one of these Hollywood stars. I wish I was like one of these athletes that, and I've got tattoos here and tattoos here and nose rings and ear rings and mouth rings and brow rings. And you know, if you take all that out, they might be holy. I'm saying this. I'm saying, they'll be closer to it. I'm saying this. I'm saying, do not desire the life of those of fame and of fortune. Do not desire to be with the wrong crowd. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 1, the Bible says, and be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. And so when you find out that there's a wrong crowd, you don't have to be unkind and you don't have to be unpleasant. You can just say, no, thank you. I was riding many years ago, and I was riding with a man, we were going on a trip together, and he turned on his country music, and I said, oh, no, thank you. Go ahead and turn it off. You say, well, you were in his truck. Yeah, but it was my ears. Amen. I just said, no, thank you. Just go ahead and turn it off. I said, I think we ought to spend some time talking. Amen. I came on the trip to fellowship with you, not to listen to your music. Let's fellowship. And by the way, listen to me. When you're out fellowship with somebody, put away your stupid phone. You know, you go out, you have a phone on you. Any of you fellows have a phone. You go out to eat with somebody, right? You're ready for this? Doesn't this annoy you? It annoys me. You're sitting there, they came out to eat with you, and you're sitting across the table. And that person's waiting for you to come back. You know, sometimes these things right here are an annoyance. Oh, sure it is. Yeah. By the way, there is a do not disturb sign. What do you call it? Button. There's a do not disturb button. You go out to eat with somebody, turn that thing on. Don't let people bother you. Hello. You know, there's times when I'm in important meetings and I can't be discerned. And what I do, whenever I'm counseling somebody, that phone never sits upright. Never. Because every time my phone, I don't know if yours does it or not, and I'm not high-tech enough to figure out how to make it do different. But every time a message comes across, my phone lights up. Boing. Now, it doesn't beep or nothing, just lights up. And so I don't want to be rude to a person. So when I'm counseling somebody, I turn my phone over this way. Why? Because they spent all that time making an appointment where somebody could help them. So I'll turn the phone over this way. Okay? And then in between meetings, I'll turn it back over, see if my wife texts me or my daughter or one of the boys or one of their wives or maybe one of the grandchildren got the phone and just went nuts. I don't know. Little Elijah came into my office this morning. And I have a private bathroom between Sylvia's office and mine. And so I was in the bathroom. The door was locked. Door was shut. And so I heard this little bitty knock at the door. And I was washing my hands. I said, hello. He didn't say a word. He just knocked a little bit more. I could tell it was a little one. You could tell. Either that, it was a very short person that was weak. I heard that little bitty knock at the door. And so I go walking out, and he's leaving. He's telling his mama. He calls me Papa. And Andrew calls me Grandpa. So Elijah speaks up to his mom and says, Papa was in the potty. Papa's in the potty. You know, I mean, out of the mouths of babes. It's like, wow, you know. I'll never tell that in a public way. But anyway. So he said live stream, 10,000 people. Here's what we see. We see that we should not desire somebody else's belongings. Don't desire somebody else's riches. Don't desire, if you would please, evil to happen to another person. Don't desire a life of fortune and fame. Don't desire to run with the wrong crowd. Don't desire to be better than somebody else. Man, please don't do that. Don't get this snooty, stuck on me type of attitude where you're walking around. You know, you got this kind of like, you got that walk, you know. And you stop at every corner and take a selfie. You show your muscle. We can't see it, but you're showing your muscle. And it's all about you. It's all about you. You know, it's me. Okay, now don't be somebody that has a better than thou attitude. Mark chapter 9 and verse 35, the Bible says that he sat down and he called the 12 and he saith unto them, if a man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. So here's a person walking around and said, hey, look at me. Boy, I'm somebody. God says, okay, I'll take care of you because in life, here's what you're going to wind up being. You're going to be a servant of all. I'll make sure if you think you're puffed up now that you would never be the puffed up person that you want to be simply because you need to rely on me, not on you. Don't desire to be noticed by others. The Bible says in Luke chapter 20 and in verse 46, the Bible says, beware of the scribes, it says, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the high seats of the synagogues and the chief rooms in the feast. Don't desire to be somebody that has an opportunity to brag. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 6, and I'm almost done, it says this, it says, for though I desire, it says, to glory, it says, I shall not be a fool. So God says when a person desires to glory, that's foolishness. He says, for I will say the truth, but now, it says, I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which I seeth me to be, he says, or that he heareth of me. So be careful. You know, Jerry Pertell, a dear friend of mine, he said this. He said, if God ever starts to use you in the ministry, keep your heart low. Billy Sunday said this, men are destroyed by two things. He said, men are destroyed by perfume. Or I'm sorry. He said, yeah, men are destroyed by perfume, and men are destroyed by praise. Perfume and praise. Now, I will add another one. I think also men are destroyed by criticism. By criticism. You know, I'm totally shocked that Brother Bell, Brother Denton, when I first started going to the Philippines and I traveled with a very small group, we would see, maybe just 200 people get saved. That's about it. The people would criticize and say, you've been over there, you only saw 200 people get saved? And then we started seeing 2,000 people get saved, and a couple of times we saw 20,000 or so get saved. And the same people that criticized the 200 people getting saved criticized more of the 20,000 getting saved. Here's what I find out. A person that has a critical heart will always criticize. When you hear somebody always criticize, and by the way, I've said this, let me shoot you a warning flare again. If somebody is criticizing somebody else about you, they're also criticizing you to somebody else. Because criticism comes out of the heart of man. So what should we do? We ought to decide that we're going to be individuals that has opportunity to help others, but don't be somebody that's quick to criticize. And last statement, I'm done. And that is, don't desire to follow the flesh. Don't desire to follow the flesh. You know, the flesh, if you're not careful, here's what you do. The flesh always wants to look good. It does. So the flesh always pretends to know more than anybody else. Well, let me tell you what I think about that. Now, let me tell you how so-and-so should have handled that. Let me tell you what so-and-so should have did there. The flesh always gets puffed up. Sure it does. But a person that walks in the Spirit of God, you're going to find out that they're quiet. The Bible says that a fool uttereth all of his mind. But it talks about how a wise man holdeth his peace to the very end. Here's what we see. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 3, the Bible says among whom it says also we had our conversation in times past of the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. If you're starting to migrate back to where you once were prior to salvation, or prior to that day when you knew that Spirit-filled walk with God, if you're starting to go backwards where, and by the way, you know you. Nobody has to preach up your nose about this. You know you. You know your walk with God. You know when things are not right. You know you. You know when you're on topside. You know when you're close to God. You know. You know when you start drifting. You know it. Nobody has to call you up, or nobody has to call you on the carpet and say, you're drifting now. Things are changing. By the way, things always change. First the heart changes, then the outward changes. But it always starts in the heart. And we don't see that part. We don't. That's why, since you know you better than anybody else knows you, it's better to help yourself when you start to drift inside the heart. Can I ask you something? Were you more on fire for Jesus Christ last week than you are today? Were you wanting to see more people saved? Were you wanting to spend more time with God? Were you praying more? Were you trusting God more? Were you stepping out trying to obey God more last week than you are today? Now, can I tell you, don't be desirous of that flesh taking control. Don't follow the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to go to Sunday school. The flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. The flesh doesn't want to hear old-fashioned preaching. The flesh doesn't have a desire to go to church. The flesh doesn't have the desire to be able to see God do a work in people's lives. It was David Livingstone. He was a Scottish missionary. He was also an explorer. He was there in Africa, the heart of Africa, for 33 years. When coming back to England, people asked him this. People talked to him and they talked about his sacrifice and said, your life has been spent in Africa. They said, what a sacrifice. Livingston immediately spoke up and he emphatically said, no sacrifice at all. He said, I rather look at it as a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, foregoing a human consciousness of that which is deep and insurmountable pain, these may be the very pulse that helped me to walk deeper with God, but they certainly were not a sacrifice. There's never been a day that I've made a sacrifice for Jesus Christ. Now, that's a missionary that I can say from a human standpoint that gave in a sacrificial way. But he viewed it as no sacrifice. I'm saying tonight, there's a way to be able to change. How do you do that, preacher? Work on your desire. Work on your desire. Put things in front of you that causes you to desire more to be like Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.